Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and hopefully you haven't missed out. It'll be a breeze, but try not to fall. You can spring back into action, but watch out for the surprise twister. Put on your thunderwear to be a perfect 65 cooler, but that's just a gustimate. For crying out cloud, it's no laughing matter that this rain of puns is at its best, so chill. Don't drought me. I just feel
Don't
under
drown
the weather.
Me.
Joining us today are the usual umbrella organization members in a fog.
Oh, yeah.
Including Kevin All Hail Jaeger.
Oh, well. I see what you did there.
Kimberly, our heated game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Hello.
And with us today is someone you may have seen.
That was just weather, by the way, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
No lightning. No. Someone stole it.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
I'm on
Although, spoiler, lightning may show up later in the episode.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
You may have seen him on the tours of Evita and Miss Saigon or from his graphic novel musical, Monster Songs. You definitely know him as the composer and lyricist of The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical. Let's give a big, broad-waisted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Rob Rokicki. Y'all ready for this? Welcome.
Hi.
It's a thing.
I love that.
You can leave now.
No, I love the puns.
Oh, great.
Oh, then you're going to love this hour.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate you being here. I know you're crazy busy at this time, but you took some time out for us. So cheers. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. My pleasure.
Cheers.
This is my favorite time of year, the fall.
Oh, right?
It's also like a week. Basically, fall is a week.
Yeah, New York's fall gets shorter and shorter.
And you're like, you run outside, and then you're like,
It's Halloween. It's Christmas.
Pretty
Did
much.
We have Thanksgiving?
Well,
I don't
have
remember.
Have you seen all the people posting stuff and just saying, like how many days till Christmas already? I have so many friends that have been posting that.
It is October.
Yeah. No, that's my wife. She just listens to Christmas music year round, which is really fun when we go on trips because she's like, no, we'll use your phone. Because you haven't taken any of the Christmas songs off, have you?
So
like,
funny.
Yeah, we'll just use your phone.
At my cousin's wedding last weekend, the last song the DJ played was All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Well, I'm forever
and
disappointed
it was
in your
hit.
Husband.
Really?
When is it not, though?
That's what the DJ said, because it was the same DJ from our wedding. And so Jay went up to me later and was like, that was solid. He goes, yeah, it's always a hit because everyone's like, why this song? I love it. And they just sing along.
That's incredible.
Well, always be disappointed that your husband and your mother-in-law didn't do that as their first
dance.
It
is her favorite song in the whole world. Mm. But Sweet Baby James was just a shoo-in for the tears.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
For the bride or groom mother dance, it has to be like sentimental and kind of sad.
Or choreographed.
And kind of sad.
Well, just like.
No, I know what you meant. But
a little weird.
Yeah.
It's always a little.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah.
Did you dance?
I danced
with
my mom. I don't know. I think it was like a Irving Berlin or something.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That's classic. I like that.
I want to keep it classy.
My sister's husband danced with his mother to the theme from The Godfather.
Wow. That's intense.
So, was that subtext or is that?
Can you sing
well,
that
they're
to
from
me?
Jersey.
Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell.
And it was awkward because that came right after like my sister danced with my dad.
That was fun. That was cool that we did that.
Sopranos theme song.
No, they danced to. What did they dance to? My sister and my dad danced to a Lionel Richie song. So it's like you go from Lionel Richie to like that. No, I think it was the ballerina girl.
There is one song, is Dancing on the Ceiling, and that is it. That is the only song. I'm sorry, except no substitutes. That's the song.
That's incredible.
That is very true.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of weddings.
What are you drinking?
I said it this time.
That's awesome. I am drinking the Hudson maple cask rye whiskey.
So good.
It's so good. I like look forward to our recording so I can drink this.
And for no other reason. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I am also partaking of the Hudson maple cask.
It's so good.
I love the baby bourbon, and I've never had this, and I am now a convert. This is amazing.
It's great. Another good one is their Manhattan Rye. Mm. That's another good one that they put out.
You can't go wrong with Hudson Whiskey. It's just really, really good.
It's one of my favorites.
Kimberly? Can we go visit the maple casks?
I do,
I don't even care what we see else. Can you take us straight to the maple cask,
Do you think
please?
It's a maple tree, or do you think it's like a regular cask they just pour maple syrup on?
You know, I bet the bottle might tell us.
Maybe it's like the maple is the wood that they use in the cask.
That's
maybe.
Probably what it is.
Or maybe there was maple syrup fermenting in
maple
there or
syrup
something?
Probably tastes like what it tastes ferment. Like because of the wood. Ooh. Like, that's probably part of
Correct.
It.
Correct.
We then impart a rich maple quality to the spirit by aging it in used whiskey casks, which held fresh maple syrup.
The
special finish lends a wonderful round maple character to Hudson's award-winning rye whiskey.
Now I just wish I had a cask of maple syrup.
We are drinking bottle 10,391.
Cool.
Which was handwritten on the back, which I always think is fun. So anyway, that's our little...
1,092.
I know. I just imagine, like, the daughters of whoever it is. Yeah.
And one for me, and yeah. 94.
91.
Kimberly and I are drinking the Milagro Tequila tonight.
We are. Inside of... Spindrift.
Orange mango.
Yes. I was looking for where it said the flavor, and I was just about to be like, Spindrift, yep, that's it. Which is also written on the can.
The rich man.
We also have cucumber, which we didn't open. Maybe we'll try that later.
That'll be fancy.
Cucumber's my favorite, but it goes better with gin.
That's definitely true.
Oh, yeah.
And we're drinking the silver Milagro.
I can't.
But again, cheers.
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 All right. So we got some questions for you, if you're okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
All right. What's your favorite musical?
I'm a split personality when it comes to my favorite shows.
So are you a Gemini? Like,
no, I'm a Scorpio.
Oh.
Through and through. I'm born on Halloween, yo.
Oh.
Happy
wait,
birthday.
Really?
Thank you.
Well, when you're listening to this, I hope your birthday was great.
Over the moon. I really love Sweeney Todd, and I really love Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and so that's like kind
of. So you like Michael Cerveris?
I like him a lot.
you have had and will have a couple of good things years to see things on in the city.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. That,
yeah.
Is
Tommy
coming
back?
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. They just like recently announced that.
Have they,
at the time
casting?
Of this recording.
No, it's like two seasons from now.
I like rock musicals and I like horror.
Yeah, I think it's coming 2021.
Oh, yeah.
And Hedwig.
Yeah,
I was a big fan. But yeah, I mean, Tommy and Sweeney Todd.
I wouldn't be able to tell from your music that you like rock musicals at all.
Or horror and monsters.
What would Sweeney Tommy sound like?
Ooh.
Michael Cerveris.
But literally.
Sweeney Todd played
Either
pinball.
Me, touch me, slash me. No.
That's incredible.
My right arm is complete again with the pinball machine.
Oh.
Oh.
We're writing it.
The pinball flickers are knives.
Ooh. Oh, scary. Is there a Sweeney Todd pinball machine out there?
There has to be.
Oh, from like the movie.
No one's just like.
I did play a
Tommy
pinball machine. It was amazing.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Oh, when we were on tour in Fifth Avenue, which is a beautiful theater in Seattle, they have a pinball museum. And the first thing I did was like, I hear they have a Tommy machine. So I went to play
Wait,
the Tommy.
That's so
Tommy
cool.
Pinball machine. Yeah.
A pinball museum?
Yeah, there's a pinball museum in Seattle.
Wow.
They got everything. Right next
well,
to
they're
the
never sleeping there, so they have to do something. Oh, that was bad.
I missed it.
I said they're never sleeping there, so they have to do something.
Oh. All right, Kevin.
Yeah.
That's a yeah.
I said it twice, and it got the groan unexpected.
Is there a cast album that you would be your desert island cast album? So let's say for some reason you were able to bring, you had a, I don't know, an iPhone that had didn't work except for this one album. What would it be?
The cast album?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it's got to be Hedwig. The original.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
John Cameron. Man.
Yeah. Oh.
I met him like 2 weeks ago and I freaked out. I turned into like a stammering, like,
yeah.
And he's like, I know, it's cool. You know, he was like, he was just like very chill and sweet and nice, and I was like,
Are there any other people on that list that you would do that or have done that?
No, I mean, he's that. I mean, yeah, really. I don't know. I don't know. Like, more like I get Twitter paid. Thank you. I'm an old timey speaking of rock singers and things like that, you know. Might get that way with like a, you know, maybe David Byrne or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have to think about that.
All right. To be continued.
Mm.
But let's talk about Lightning Thief for a bit. So it's on Broadway currently.
It is.
What are some of the fan reactions that you've seen? I mean, you've had quite the journey to where you are.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
What has the evolution of the fan reaction been up until this point?
Well, we started in 2014, way back, as a 1 hour. And that was like, we had to like get those rights. That was like the hardest thing ever. That TheaterWorks, Barbara Pasternak, the artistic director, like, magically was helped by Rick Ryden's agents, who were wonderful, Nancy and Marietta, were basically like 20th Century Fox kind of with the movies that no one really, you know, the fans kind of really despise. And so we were able to get the rights for the stage show, but we didn't think we'd actually get it in New York. So we got them. It was just for like maybe a tour. And so we worked our butts off to like do right by Rick's estate. And then very first kind of workshop that we did up on its feet of that 1 hour version, we invited fans to. You know, there's like a camp like or Camp Half Blood, sorry, that's all over. They do like events within in the park and in Long Island.
Oh, cool.
And we brought those kids in to like give us feedback.
Cool.
And obviously Rick's agents were like, you can't do this. You can't do this. What are iconic moments in the books that we wanted to like keep? Moments that the fans really loved. And also we were like, tone was the most important to us. To Joe Trace, who is just a master of writing young adult fiction. I mean, he did Lemony Snicket, to Be More Chill.
Yeah.
This was his first musical, was Lightning Thief. He was writing it just before he started Be More Chill. His tone was so right between the kind of camp and silliness of the show and then like real heart and real stakes and that like humor and heart. And I think that there was nothing slick about it. There was nothing like a Hollywoodization of that.
Yeah.
And that's something the fans immediately from the get-go were like, we love that. We had to win over a lot of hearts and minds.
Oh, sure.
And then like we had to win over a lot of hearts and minds in the theater community too, because they're like, fantasy really is a big seller because genre is such a big seller in musicals, right? And like I just mentioned two of my favorite musicals, right? It's like Sweeney Todd or Little Shop. I mean, these are genre musicals that are hard sell, right? And so we were able to like, by some miracle, we got nominated for that 1 hour show against like Hamilton and Fortress of Solitude for like a Lortel, and I was like, what? And so then we were able to say, okay, there's something substantial here.
Sure.
And then we expanded it to a 2-act version. Well, that 1 hour toured around for like 6 different tours for like 3 years, and then we worked and worked and worked, same kind of thing.
And that was through TheaterWorks?
That was through TheaterWorks initially, and then we went back to the Lortel on a 2-act version, and we brought in again.
That's the that was that we saw.
Yeah.
And it was just a lot of R&D. It was like bringing in other fans, making sure that we were doing right by the source material. We went back to the book on like everything, and it was like, and the funny thing was, is we were like, oh, we were so strapped for time when we originally did the 1 hour. Then we were like, oh my gosh, we can add so much more in the 2 hour that we wanted to originally. But then we were like, we're not going to just cram stuff. We started to be very clear that it was like more adventure, more things isn't what the show needs. The show needs more time with our characters and more weight to like more gravitas so that we actually live with them and the stakes feel real and higher. And so like that was part of kind of the learning process with that. And then that show, you know, the theatrical community embraced. We got 3 Drama Desk Awards, or nominations, I should say.
Yeah.
Nominations. But to be on a stage for our campy, weird, silly, very theatrical show with 7 people playing 47 characters against like a Hades Town or a Vans Visit, to feel like that you're on that playing field, that a show for families is like a worthy audience to have in theater. I thought that was like a really bold, exciting statement, and one that producers found, and we did a cast album, and they were like, let's make a tour. So I thought the tour, we did a 6-month national tour opening in like the largest theaters ever.
We had Chris just before he left.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying. We opened the Niederlander, well, at the time called the Oriental, and at Chicago,
right?
Which is
that's huge.
That's insane.
And
so
we started
from the hotel to go
from
there.
From the hotel, it was like 200 seats to like 10 times, literally 10 times the size. And I didn't know if the show would hold up, and it did. It totally held up. And
that must have been a spectacular evening.
It was unreal.
Yeah.
It was like. I mean, Broadway
or
was
matinee.
Insane.
I don't know what it was.
No, it was an evening.
Oh, okay.
It was an evening.
Sorry, I didn't mean
it
was
a.
It was
a 9 a.m.
It was a 9 a.m. school matinee.
No, you know how it. No, it was unreal. It was unreal, and I was so so flippin' proud, and to see that trajectory, and then 6 months went by, and we're like, oh, wow,
done.
I'm so proud. We're done.
Yeah.
And then I get a phone call, and they're like, so the Schuberts loved it when we played the Beacon, which was also like a dream come true.
Sure.
Because
oh,
I'd
about
seen
that too.
All these bands play the Beacon.
Yeah.
I was downstairs in the Beacon. I'm like, oh my God, it's like Chris Cornell's stand right now. I'd seen Brady Carlisle there like a week before or whatever.
Wow.
I was just like
that's
freaking
so cool.
out. And so they were like, yeah, we have a theater open for 3 months or 4 months. You want it? And I'm like, yeah.
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 Broadway calls everybody.
No, but I mean, like, truly the weirdest thing.
Yeah,
no,
it's amazing.
Completely unexpected. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where, like, we had nothing to prove. We had nothing. You know, we were just like...
You kind of already proved what you had to prove.
It was like a victory lap.
A little bit. It felt like it was taking the tour home. And, like, my favorite thing about the whole experience was getting to celebrate these actors, some of which had been with the show for years. Like, Stokes had been with it. Kristen had been with it since 2013.
That's
crazy.
Wow.
The very first workshop we did.
And how long was Chris attached? Because he's been there
for, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
So he'd been with
That's
it for
amazing.
A while. Sarah Beth had been with it since 2014, off and on.
Wow.
So to see 9 out of 10 Broadway debuts.
That's so cool.
And to say that, like, you know, young people deserve a place at the theater. And to see, like, boys enjoying theater, which is something, like, you never see that demographic.
Sure.
So that's been really, really wonderful.
That must be a very cool experience for, you know, that kind of mutual, you know, Broadway dreams coming true, like you're helping supporting theirs and they're supporting yours by putting your show up on their feed. And
it was like such a full circle in so many ways. Like I used to bartend at that theater.
Oh really?
No way. Which show?
Like talk radio and a bunch of going
wow.
and like a lot of plays.
Yeah.
And like Jaylen used to usher there, you know.
Wow.
And so that was like one of the first things we did the first day we got there. I was like, I was thanking the bartenders because I knew.
I thought you were gonna say I went behind the bar, I sold some drinks.
I did get a lot of free Kit Kats, which is very dangerous because I was just, like eating my way through previews. I was just like, you can't keep just giving me the candy. I'm just
I will eat all of
it. Yeah, but
I want those friends.
I had
a break.
I as an actor was supposed to do a Broadway show. I was supposed to do Pump, Poison, Dinettes in 2013, and so that had fallen apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then literally, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And then literally, like the next week or whatever, Lightning Thief fell in my lap. So it was like that chapter felt like it closed in the weirdest way. 7 years later or whatever. Yeah.
Huh.
Cool. Well, let's play a game.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
That's such a good story.
Yeah.
That bookends. I always like bookends.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Like actual bookends or stories.
Like, well, it is
sconces on them.
Yeah.
Faces on them.
Or like fun jars filled with coins.
Love it.
Well, who are you, my husband?
Yeah. I have them in my apartment too.
Oh, God. You guys are our best friends.
Gross.
There's so many. This is a cool bottle. We'll put pennies in it.
Yeah,
I don't want this in my house.
What?
Her husband does that. They have like a collection of things that he puts pennies in.
Okay.
He found this really cool
don't
bottle.
Don't go
and
in the microwave.
Only... No. Oh, God.
Wait. What?
No, that's a joke.
No, it was just a stupid
I don't
joke.
Get it. Oh, like if we put pennies in.
That's
where
you're
the
not
microwave.
Supposed to put them. So that was the joke. You know what? Let's play the game.
Yeah, I missed that too.
I don't know.
I was like a gremlin joke? Like,
No. Because you're not supposed to put coins in the microwave.
You're supposed
that's
to,
sad.
First
right
of all,
talking about
you're
that
not supposed
scene.
To put
were you?
Metal.
Yeah,
just,
right. Exactly.
So
but no
good.
One has ever thought to put coins in there. It's like a fork, you
but
know,
yeah,
that might
no,
be
but
in
butter,
your
a
cup.
Spoon.
Right,
I
understand. But I was just going with what we had.
My sister once put like the butter with like the wrapping of the butter in the microwave.
Yeah,
and that like blue flame.
Oh. Mm. I mean, so you can only do it for 10 seconds. You get it from temperature
does that mean
so you
there was
can
like
cream
an evil
it.
Spirit, or it was
that's
just
what we
caught
thought.
On fire.
We thought.
Was it a Patronus?
the butter
Patronus.
Patronus.
What if you did
Patronus.
Your Patronus? It was like a stick of melted
guys, I finally
butter.
Saw Harry Potter. It's all I can talk about. But not here. Secrets, whatever. Should we do a spoiler episode for Patreon where we just talk about
everything Harry Potter? That happens in Harry Potter?
You guys.
We just read the cursed
chapter. Out loud. Chapter one. Scene Everybody one.
Guys, I'll be Scorpius. It'll be great. Anyway.
Yes.
Patrick Flynn, fellow podcaster.
Great.
Yes.
Sent me a game the other day that he didn't get to use, and I thought it sounded fun, so I thought
we'd
cool. bring it here, and it's new for me as well.
Thanks, Patrick.
Because I like to play the games. Mm-hmm. Although, cool. I guess I do technically still have all the answers in front of
right.
me.
Right. So, so you win!
So my game is cold reading. Okay. Your game is a game.
Okay.
It's just a Broadway before and after, if you're familiar with that kind of Wheel of Fortune.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking
yeah,
of.
Yeah, sure. It's on
I almost
fortune.
Said Jeopardy.
Like no. Jeopardy.
Anyway, Patrick says,
it's
for
like,
example.
No, like fortune cookie and cream. So it's like a
cookies and cream. That's not a great one.
Well, yeah.
School of Rock of Ages. Was that
School
it?
Of yeah, School of Rock of Ages. Yeah. That's a good one.
So we have the bells.
So we have the bells. So I will read you the plot description. If you need help, I can give you the composers.
Squads.
oh, this one's fun.
Yeah.
Great. A high school student takes a pill from Japan containing a microcomputer which tells him the story of Adam and Eve.
Be more Children of Eden?
Yeah,
correct.
That's a good one.
It's literally like...
I know.
Is it a squib situation?
Okay, so it's a mashup plot as well. I see what you did here, Patrick. Okay, while Andre isn't here, a photographer seduces an Italian-American wife left alone by her husband.
Say this again?
What?
While Andre isn't here, a photographer seduces an Italian-American wife left alone by her husband.
Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of Nine? Of Nine?
Of Nine?
No, but that's clever.
Wait, Andre isn't...
It's not a perfect one.
Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet.
An Italian-American wife left alone by her husband. A photographer.
I know that part.
Yeah, yeah Andre. The first one was right.
Natasha Pierre.
No, but I know the Nine. Second part.
Yeah.
Nine.
No, he's is a it? Film. No. He's
wait,
not
it's
a photographer. He's a director.
Natasha Pierre and the...
Oh, Natasha Pierre and the Bridges of Madison County?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I was trying to figure out how to make it work in
I
the
know,
actual
yeah,
title.
So was I.
And the Great Pumpkin.
Well, that would be good.
Oh, yeah, the Great Pumpkin.
I'm failing.
A prison cell somewhere in Latin America, two very different men warily confront each other with stories of web-slinging superheroes' battles with the evil Arachne.
Kiss of the Spider-Man.
Oh,
turn out the dark.
There yeah. it is.
I was like, it's Far From Home?
A North Carolina woman in her 40s has her baby thrown into a river while roller skating trains sing about something.
Bright Starlight Express.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I was literally like seeing the baby fly through the air.
I still like get palpitations
that's
from that case. Scene.
I know.
You guys,
yeah.
That is a great opening number. I love that song.
Yes.
Star.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a catchy song.
Which one?
The
No, that's not the opening number.
The opening number
is
you
my
story.
The sun is,
Get
you
my
story. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Carmen.
It's good.
The sun's gonna shine again is the opening number back too. But I saw
the
where your mind was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm
waiting for my light to shine. It's a different show.
And we continue. A gay couple try to pass as straight for their son for two married couples at a reunion before their theater gets torn down.
The Cage of Follies.
Yes.
Follies.
That's a good one.
I like that one.
In ancient Rome, a slave tries to get a girl for three sailors on the shore leave. Oh, for three sailors on shore leave in New York City.
A funny thing happened on the town.
Uh-huh. A shorter title.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Here's a tiebreaker. Not that I think anyone's tied, but I haven't been counting.
You two might be.
You just pointed to me.
No,
okay.
The two gentlemen.
In Gander, Newfoundland.
Of Verona. No, that's not.
In Gander, Newfoundland, a town struggles to stage a production of Oklahoma using its original title. This one's hard.
Come From Away We Go?
Yes.
Away We Go.
What?
I
hadn't known the plot of Away to Go. Away We Go
I
ever.
I don't know Away We Go.
I
wow.
guessed. I didn't know. That was a pure guess.
That was such a fun game. And
Jim
Rob
Tepper.
Wins!
Yeah.
Yay!
Jen Tepper.
Wait, what?
Oh, that was so fun.
We talked for a second about Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Yeah.
You did a Lightning Thief panel at New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
Tell us about that experience.
Well, I'd never been before, and I, for someone who like worked on a graphic novel musical, you would think, no, it was unreal.
Did you see people dressed up?
My dear friend Megan, who's in the original cast or the revival of Hair, she went as Squirrel Girl, and she nailed it, which is one of my favorite Marvel.
That's
characters.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw a lot of littles that were really cute. There was a lot of Thors of every shape and size.
Were people dressed up as Lightning Thief characters?
There was one or two Annabeths I saw.
That's awesome.
No one found the blue shirt.
I don't think there was any blue shirts. But we did have a little section. There was like a Hamilton and Evan Hansen and Be More Chill and Lightning Thief kind of little section of stuff.
That's awesome.
Which was really cool.
Yeah.
But really it was just like... amazing to see the artwork. I was just blown away.
Yeah.
And I met some guy that does Shakespeare, comics of Shakespeare characters, and it's like heroes and villains, and they're like so beautiful and like so fun and pulpy, and it's like Lady Macbeth with like Prospero against, you know, and Richard III like fighting Henry V. And it's like really like killer drawings.
Yeah.
Like, they're amazing. And I was like, that's so smart. Of like a totally new take on something.
So and you sorry, go
no, go ahead.
You walked the whole floor, like you had the full experience.
Yeah, I did the
That's
whole
literally
thing.
What I was gonna say.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah. I saw
did you
just
dress up?
I did not dress up because I was coming from the panel.
But like,
did you wear like a lightning?
No,
panel?
You know what I wore? I wore did you guys watch Dark Crystal the new one?
Yeah. Oh no, I watched the new one.
I have a shirt of Hup. Who's my favorite podling? He's on the new one.
Cool.
So that was dorky, you know.
Absolutely. Did you? I mean, what was the panel like? What was your experience with the panel?
Well, you know what? One of the things that I love about Lightning Thief is that we bring, you know, people who sometimes never seen a musical before, and like we bridge a lot of like the literature world and the comic book world, because there are three comic books of the first three books already of Lightning Thief 2.
Really?
And a lot of people that come from the movies or whatever. But yeah, it was great. They asked us a lot of questions about adaptation,
and that
kind of stuff. And just kind of like how we compress plot and all that kind of like structural stuff, which is interesting. I was like surprised how like really thoughtful the questions were about like figuring it out.
Well, with Comic Con being more like pop culture con nowadays, it's nice to see if you're going to expand it past, you know, what it originally started as.
Yeah.
It's nice to see like all these theatrical experiences going, like Lightning Thief. I know Harry Potter had a booth there and did that.
Yeah.
There's so much Hamilton stuff, just like art in booths and things like that. It's very noticeable.
Well, I love to, and you know, you see online with there's so many like animatics and people do like all these like incredible renderings of their favorite musicals as characters.
I've started getting into animatics. I think they're so fun.
It's so cool.
Whoa. Ms. I Hate Cartoons is into animatics?
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, I don't know why. Because when Emily
Step
got
one.
Yeah,
Be
we're
More
working
Chill,
on it.
I like wanted to know what the plot was, and somehow I landed on like Be More Chill animatics from the old cast album that had looped in bootleg dialogue so that I could like get what the plot was. And I thought it was like so cool that someone did that. And I don't know why when people do it professionally and give it to me,
I love it so much because you see like all these different people of how they imagine the show is.
Yeah.
Not seen it yet, and you get to see like, oh, that's their take on it.
Yeah. Oh, and I watched Hadestown animatics before it came out too.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
When you were at Comic-Con, did you see
Tuesdays in the Corner with Kevin?
Oh, that surprise.
That was a little scary, right?
Did not.
So you're going to see it now. So, welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I have three highly researched questions for you.
You're in a corner.
I am in a corner for the first time.
No one puts Kevin in a
corner. Yeah, exactly.
Kevin puts himself in a corner.
I've self-exiled to a corner. So, I have three highly researched questions for you. And all of my research comes from the highly reputable website, Wikipedia.
Oh, Lord.
So we'll see where these go. And this is the name game, so it all starts with people named Rob.
Whoa.
So your name is Rob.
Mm.
Just like Rob 64, the observation and analysis robot of Star Fox's mothership, the Great Fox, in the N64 game series Star Fox.
Of course.
However, the Fox What Does the Fox Say? Is an electronic dance novelty song and viral video by Norwegian comedy duo Ylvis that has received over 880 million views as of this month.
Mm.
A Month of Bugs is a strategy used by security researchers to draw attention to the lax security procedures of commercial software corporations.
Mm.
And a corporation sole, S-O-L-E, is a legal entity consisting of a single sole incorporated office occupied by a single sole natural person. So my question is, it is said that old-time rock and roll is the kind of music that soothes the soul. What kind of music besides musical theater music soothes your soul and why?
Clearly What the Fox Says. You guys, one tangent. You have to hear this song. It is, I think it's German. It is called How Much Is the Fish? And all it, the lyrics are, How Much Is the Fish? And you have to listen to it. It's a dance piece. That's all I will say.
Okay. It will change your life. How Much Is the Fish?
Okay.
It will change your life. What do I like to listen to?
Yeah, like what's your music? Yeah.
I'm a real eclectic guy because I grew up only listening to classical music. My parents only let me kind of listen to classical music.
Wow.
My dad's a pianist. My mom sings in a choir. I mean, that's not professionally, but semi. Mm-hmm. They do their, you know, and so I discovered like Springsteen and like Bon Jovi.
Mm-hmm.
And that like,
are you from New Jersey?
No, I'm from Denver.
Okay.
But that like opened a whole world for me. And then I was like playing catch up. So like I have a very eclectic mix of like, and then I did a lot of stuff with my students that I teach at like at Cat 21 at Pace. They'll like give me bands that I'm like, oh my God. I like grew up with like 90s, you know,
mm-hmm.
alt rock, you know, Radiohead is how I learned to play guitar. Mm-hmm. And like the Afghan Whigs are like my favorite, Amy Mann. Fiona Apple, Ben Folds, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I love Springsteen, and you can literally look at a song like Good Kid, and you're like, oh, that is clearly My Chemical Romance and Paramore and Springsteen mushed together. Mm-hmm. Like, it's literally.
Yeah.
Wait, like that's exactly.
Yeah.
Did you teach yourself to play guitar?
I did teach myself to play guitar. I did take piano lessons when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
With classical music parents, that would
make sense. Yeah, but they would be like, we'd go on those like mountain trips, you know, to like hike, and it would be like, name that composer. I'm like, Shostakovich.
Oh, it's just 3 minutes and 12 seconds of silence, and you're like, John Cage.
Oh my God. I'm a dance was on loop in their house as a kid.
Oh my Lord.
Oh, that's so cool. All right, question two. You ready?
Yes. Yeah.
Your name is Rob.
Yes.
Just like Rob the Collie. A dog who in February of 1945 was awarded the Dicking Medal, considered to be the animal's Victoria Cross. He was alleged to have made over 20 parachute descents during the North African campaign.
A dog?
Yep, serving with the SAS. However, in 2006, his actions were revealed as being a possible hoax perpetrated by members of the regiment in order to prevent Rob leaving after his original owners requested his return.
Whoa.
Cool, huh?
Yeah.
Return to Forever is an American jazz fusion group founded and led by pianist Chick Corea in 1971. Through its existence, the band has had many members, with the only consistent bandmate of Corea's being bassist Stanley Clark. Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, mm-hmm. is an American television series based on the DC character Superman that starred Dean Cain as Clark, Kent, and Superman, and Terry Hatcher as Lois Lane. So my question is, if you were required by law to adapt a popular television show from the 80s or 90s into a Broadway musical, what TV show would you pick and why?
Which law?
Well,
it's a very serious law.
I'm in
L.A. law. maybe The Incredible Hulk. It's so weird. I was wearing this shirt of The Incredible mm-hmm. Hulk. But like when I was growing up, we would, you know, my dad was always, you know, he was a doctor, so he was always working, and we would have, like, try to cram dinner time to, like, have family time, and we would watch Incredible Hulk together.
Mm-hmm.
And,
like the Lou Ferrigno.
The Lou Ferrigno original. And there was something so, like, melancholic about that.
You
know? Reminds me of the very first musical I tried to adapt when I was 13. It was, Jekyll and Hyde. Mm-hmm. I had a song, The Brilliant, Silence Before the Storm. It was the greatest song you've never heard. I drew a poster, and then my mom found
the cast album.
The cast album. It was like the concept recording. She's like, Robbie, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no!
That's so funny. I had an outline for a musical when I was 14 of Clue.
Oh, yeah.
And then my mom was like, there is a Clue musical. And I was like, no!
Is there a Clue musical or just the movie?
There's a musical. There's a
play.
Oh. Well, like, Sondheim is trying to adapt Mary Poppins. There's
like a musical out there. I don't think it's done very often, but it exists.
Listen, we didn't get Sondheim's Mary Poppins. We won't get Your Jekyll and Hyde.
Never.
So sad.
There are things in the ether.
Before the storm.
And it's songs like that that you like literally could sing the entire thing right now if you wanted to, right?
I'm not going.
No, but
to
you that. Could.
I maybe.
Yeah. But like you sometimes can't remember what you had for breakfast like a week ago, no, but you will remember those words forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, question 3.
Yes.
Your name is Rob, just like Rob Riley, the eponymous contemporary British schoolboy in the British comic strip set in a fictional town of West Haven on Sea. The Sea is a 1978 novel by Iris Murdoch about the strange obsessions that haunt a self-satisfied playwright and director as he begins to write his memoirs, and the book won a 1978 Booker Prize. The Frank Nelson Cole Prize, or Cole Prize for short, is one of two prizes awarded to mathematicians by the American Mathematical Society, one for an outstanding contribution to algebra and the other for an outstanding contribution to number theory. A theory of everything is a hypothetical, single, all-encompassing, coherent theoretical framework of physics that fully explains and links together all physical aspects of the universe. Over the past few centuries, two theoretical frameworks have been developed that, together, most closely resemble a theory of everything. General relativity, or GR, and quantum field theory, or QFT. GR is a theoretical framework that only focuses on gravity for understanding the universe in regions of both large and small, large scale and high mass, such as stars, galaxies, clusters of galaxies, etc. On the other hand, QFT is a theoretical framework that only focuses on three non-gravitational forces for understanding the universe in regions of both small scale and low mass, like subatomic particles, atoms, molecules, and etc. So my question is,
you always try and do math.
What is your favorite vacation you've ever taken, and why?
Oh, wow. Man.
It all connects back, circle.
I was just thinking about a song I wrote for Will Roland
about
spooky action at a distance, the Einstein's kind of theory to particles like getting changed simultaneously. It's fascinating. Oh, anyway, I had to do a lot of research. It's like,
and you, like, understood it, not just, like, my research where I'm typing the words I'm reading off Wikipedia.
As well as, like, but a particle physicist came to a concert and was like, yeah, I think you got it pretty right.
Whoa. Wait, invited or uninvited?
No, it was somebody's dad who was in the concert that.
Whoa.
Anyway, that's Will Roland making me write weird songs.
That makes sense, too, that a particle, physicist's child is like, I want to do musicals! Yeah.
My favorite vacation. I had a really, really great vacation, with my wife, last year. That was one of my favorites. We went to Spain.
Oh.
We went to Granada, and we get to like the Alhambra, which is that spooky castle.
It's amazing.
And then we went on this hike where we got lost and she fell in like a river and I was like in the middle of nowhere and I'm like, well, this is where I die.
Oh no.
But we didn't, and it was like magical. We walked found our way out of this valley at sunset and overlooking all these olive trees, and it was really like, oh yeah, there is so much more in the world that I always forget about until you're like out and about in the world.
Getting lost in Spain.
Getting the lost in Spain, falling in a river.
Lost in Spain, next musical. I'm there for it.
Alhambra.
And this has been Kevin's Corner.
Yay!
You did it.
In terms of, you know, we talked about the kind of evolution of Lightning Thief before. I mean, as a writer, what have you learned specifically about writing for yourself along the way?
Well, I've never been precious, and and I think if a good idea can come from anyone, when we were adapting that 1 hour, there were moments where you know, best idea wins. You know, if that was Joe Trace, if that was sometime, we at the time, I think we were working with Sam Pinkleton, who's an incredible choreographer, and we're going to touch beer. He was like, Rob, you got to solve X to, you got to figure out how to get from there to there. And I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah, that's right. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. The choreographer is telling me what to do. And honestly, I was like, yeah, you're absolutely right. So I feel like if you're open to, like, ideas that are good, then it doesn't matter. It's such a collaborative thing. And then there's also, like, sticking to your guns, you know, when you think that there's something that worth fighting for. It's kind of that when to know when to hold them, when to fold them.
Sure.
But there was a song called Migraine Plan that we wrote for this my favorite character, Annabeth. And it was one of those moments where, like, you know, everybody was kind of scattered to the four winds with our writing team because it was a little hard because they're bi-coastal. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I know that this needs to happen. I know that this song needs to happen. I know she needs this, their own kind of standalone songs. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't quite finding a home. And so I was like, but this is the right moment. So we kept trying to, like, jerry-rig it in a couple places. So I was like, fine, I killed it. I wrote another song instead. And then we came back to it and we're like, oh, yeah. What if we just tweak XYZ?
Sure.
And then it fit like a glove.
Cool.
But I knew that I was willing to kill it to say, okay, I'll try it, knowing that, like, I still think it's worth bringing back. And then now it, like, stops the show. It's, like, my favorite moment in the show. But yeah, good ideas can come from anywhere. And I love having a time constraint. I love having as many parameters as humanly possible of, like, it's got to be due. You got to solve XYZ. It's the puzzle of it all.
Mm-hmm. Like, force the creativity.
Yeah, it really does. And when you're working on a show like this that I've been working on for so long, it's like you're constantly trying to solve the puzzle.
How do you quiet it down?
Well, the show's never... Well, you open. Because the show's, like, never really, you know...
Yeah.
It's finished. You just have to stop working on it at some point. That is what Jen Tepper said to me, which I think Da Vinci said. It's like, you gotta leave it alone because people have to look at it at some point. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's so true. I mean, if I can go back and tinker, I will. There's always a way to make it better and tighter and whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, at some point, you also be like, it's bigger than me now. You have to kind of, like, let go.
Yeah,
sure. Piggybacking off what Brian was asking, what would you say to some of our listeners who are, like, aspiring writers of their own? What would you say is some, like, sound advice about trying to get into the industry as a writer?
You know, I think...
like a composer...
As in everything, as a storyteller. I mean, I kind of look at it all as the same things. I've been a music director, an actor, and a writer.
Sure.
And I think it's surround yourself with people that are smarter than you, that you respect, and you know... And then you push yourself to do good work, and then you suddenly come up with ideas and collaborations, and, you know, that's how I met Iconis. I was, like, you know, asked to music direct a show for him one winter, and then I was like, no, I don't want to music direct some other composer, and then we became inseparable, and he's recommended me for jobs, and I, you know, sang in his wedding, because, you know, I love him, but, like, it's those kinds of friendships, those relationships, if you take a chance and be like, all right, I'm going to be a part of your story, and then maybe you can be a part of the thing I'm working on.
Yeah.
And that's so important, because I think a lot of times with writers, like, you feel like it's like you're an island. And
yeah, it can be so insular, you know? It's like the blank page, sitting at home, and just write. And theater doesn't happen in a vacuum. You know, like, my favorite thing is working with other people. And so, yeah, surrounding yourself with the most people you can, being nice, because there's a lot of not nice people too.
Sure.
And you'd be surprised how far being nice will go. It seems so silly. It's what I tell my students. I'm like, you have, like, two things you can be prepared over: things you have control over. Be prepared and be nice. And that's, like, literally all you can do.
Yeah. We had that lesson at school too, because they were like, you need to, like, be nice that, like, you'll get another job.
Yeah.
Like, you can only be so talented to get one job.
Kevin,
like,
you haven't had that lesson yet,
no,
right?
So mean. Also, you know, this incredible advice I was given by this amazing writer, Jodi Picoult. She's, like,
and
stuff.
Yeah.
She's working on a couple projects with my day job, my boss, Tim McDonald. I work at this company called iTheatrics. We make, like, junior versions of Broadway shows.
Cool.
And which taught me economy and storytelling, I'll tell you that. Right.
Yeah.
Let's take, you know, Legally Blonde and pay 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But she, I was at a reading that she did. And
one less key change is so much better.
Oh my God, right?
I think it's called Legally Blue.
just blonde.
But she was so smart. Obviously
she's so cool.
But you know, I'm always like, you know, who's able to tell stories? Who's allowed to tell stories? And I'm always trying to write about things that like scare me or things that concern me on my mind. I'm writing a musical about a cult and patriarchy and it's like groupthink and there's like sea monsters. Of course, they're monsters. Yeah, yeah. Me.
sea monsters specifically.
Obviously, and I'm like, do I have validity to write about other experiences other than my own? Because I don't want to just write about me. Mm-hmm. I want to write about things I'm passionate about. And she had this quote. It was like, don't write what you know. Write what you're willing to learn. And I was like, boom. Like,
wow.
Mindgasm. I was just like,
that's
wow.
That's really good.
Because then I'm like, if you become an expert in something, if you surround yourself with experts on something and dramaturgs and people that are representative of the stories you want to tell, then it does give you a little bit more credibility and credence to be able to like tell those stories that you want to tell.
Cool.
I love that.
Get outside yourself.
Let's play another game.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to play Dirty Hands on a Hard Body.
Ooh, I love that musical. Yes. I really do.
I feel like it's one of the ones I'm mad I missed.
Brother Gretel was like a religious experience.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we've heard.
My husband took his like mom on a like mother-son date and they both loved it.
Yes. Yeah, Jay, I'm sure
they dance together afterwards.
Exactly.
Yes. That's how they end all their evenings together.
The mother son.
A slow dance to Sweet Baby Jay. Anyway, Dirty Hands on a Hard Body. We start with two hands on the table.
Yep.
It's a categories game. So rapid fire to the We Will Rock You beat.
Uh-oh.
And then if you are out, if you repeat something, or if you don't say it on the right word, whatever. You're out, you put one hand in the air, that's your dirty hand.
Oh.
And then we'll go around again. If you have two hands, you're out, we go till one person wins. Okay. If you get out on a round, you pick the next category.
Okay.
Kevin picked the first category, because I can't think of any.
Okay. The category is luxury clothing designers.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
Look in this room.
Gucci.
Burberry.
Louis Vuitton.
Prada.
Oh, I didn't think that far. Because I had Prada as my next one because I didn't think you would say that.
That's so good. I was literally thinking through like, Nordstrom's.
I was going Saks Fifth Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's because, like, I think it's Hulu has been, like, begging me. You know how, like, it keeps telling you, you should watch this, you should watch this.
Sure.
Wants it's you to watch
the
Gucci?
Thing about the thing about the life and death of...
Oh, Versace.
Yeah. Versace.
Yeah.
Which I should have used!
Well, you get to pick again.
Okay, I have a dirty hand. You know, you'll probably be good at this one, but I'm going to say holiday songs. Like, winter holiday songs.
Winter holiday songs. Okay.
Not like all those Halloween songs.
Or like a Thanksgiving song, the turkey lurkey time.
Definitely a Christmas song.
Okay,
continue. Oh, your turn first.
So, we need a little Christmas.
Let it snow.
Oh. All I want for Christmas is you.
Oh, good one. The dreidel song.
Frosty the Snowman.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Oh.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
The Christmas song.
The river.
Mom, Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Somebody got run over.
Hanukkah song by Adam Sandler.
I'm out again. Because I was going to do them. Okay.
He has a part 2 and part 3.
Oh, so actually, okay, so I get to pick another category. So I'll pick a category for you three. The category is famous supermodels.
Okay.
Who are you?
I don't know.
God.
No. I'm going to sound so dumb. Okay. Divine famous. Oh, who starts?
Mm-hmm. Well, they have to be a supermodel.
All right. L.
Yeah.
Good one.
Naomi Campbell.
Tyra Banks.
Uh-huh. Cindy Crawford.
Yeah.
Nope.
Claudia Schiffer.
Yeah.
Giselle.
Is it the 90s?
Heidi Klum.
Look, you don't need to shame me.
You get to pick a category now. All right. Unless you just want me to keep peeking the categories.
No. No. Thank you.
No.
Reality TV shows.
Okay.
Oh God, Brian.
Oh my God, I'm Tyra Banks.
I only have one.
Right. Oh, I start right.
Music, Kimberly.
America's Next Top Model. Oh, I see what you meant.
The Amazing Race.
Survivor.
The Bachelor.
The Bachelorette.
Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh. Oh.
The Bachelor Winter Games.
Good one.
Why are there so many bachelors?
I don't know.
There's
nervous.
One more.
The Great British Baking Show.
Yes.
The Swan.
Oh.
That was a good one.
Bachelor Pad. That's the last one.
Joe Millionaire.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Halloween Wars.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yes. Extreme Makeover.
House Hunters?
Yeah. That's
sure.
Reality programming.
Hell's Kitchen.
Yes. All I can see in my head is roses.
Are you out?
Yeah, I think I'm
okay.
Out.
Okay.
Oh, God, so you both have two.
I was literally just going to go through the whole cooking channel.
Yeah, I was ready with Chopped. I was MasterChef, MasterChef Junior.
I will get sucked into a Chopped vortex, uh-huh. And I will literally be like, yeah. What day is it? November? And I'll be like, Chopped for days.
Yeah, Chopped is so good. Halloween Wars is fantastic.
Oh my God, it is unreal.
I've never watched Halloween Wars.
It's a,
oh,
you should watch it.
My
what
God, they
it?
Get like a sugar expert, and they get like a pumpkin carving expert, and they get like a cake making carver expert, and whatever, and they all put them together. And
they make
these
crazy scenes.
Insane.
It like on a lawn?
No, they look like they look like the displays you
like
have.
For
at, like,
a window?
They're like a display.
Yes, they're like
a
window.
Window?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's 100% like that.
An edible thing, and it gets heated.
Yeah, they get really into it.
Well, it's a war.
Yeah.
Did you see the one where the guy's like cut his hand really bad?
Whoa.
And like the pumpkin carver was trying to go fast, and he like sliced his thumb really bad.
No, I saw the one where the pumpkin carver sat on the pumpkin. He was like, nobody's going to get this pumpkin. I got first pick of the pumpkin.
Oh,
and then he broke it. He like went right into the pumpkin. I was like,
he totally did. He was
such
a jerk.
He's a pumpkin carving bro.
Yeah, he was totally a bro.
That's what you get, bro.
Oh, that's so good.
That's wonderful.
That's awesome.
All right,
Kimberly. Comic book villains.
Okay. Go for it.
All right. Venom.
Lex Luthor.
The Joker.
The Riddler.
The Penguin.
Great, just Batman?
Yeah, basically.
Cool.
The Scarecrow.
Ooh. Bane.
Ra's al Ghul.
Oh. Crap. I seriously had so many good ones lined up for Marvel, and then I was thinking Batman, and I lost them all.
Okay,
the
you
Rhino.
Get to the category.
That's Spider-Man.
Bebop and Rocksteady?
No.
Well, technically, yes.
Wait, what?
From Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Which was a comic, but
Yeah, it was a comic.
But I don't... Was Bebop and Rocksteady in the comics, or they created
just
the
cartoon show?
Cartoon of the movie.
So. I think they were in the comics.
Anyway, you get to pick the... Out.
Oh.
Don't let Brian win.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's the only rule.
Be like, people who are in your wedding.
Okay. Types of hats.
Okay.
I'm very into this.
Baseball.
Stevedore.
Oh.
Cowboy.
Golf cap.
Sherlock. I don't know what it's actually.
Ski cap.
Okay. Visor.
Visor was mine. Damn it.
Oh, though we did let you get away with Sherlock as your hat.
What are those hats called?
And they might
the double
Sherlock hat.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
I gotta look it up before we end.
It's probably
called like
haberdashery. It's a great
that's
word.
That's where you might buy.
That's a great word.
Mm. I do like that.
No one said bowler.
No, it's called a bowler hat.
A bowler hat.
I love that song.
It's a good song.
It's called a deer stalker.
Yes.
So you were wrong.
No, but if you, I mean, everyone calls it a Sherlock cap if you try to buy it on the internet.
And, like, you have the opposite with the flaps.
Yes.
Like,
this
yeah, way. I mean, I knew exactly what you meant when you said Sherlock cap.
Well, that brings us to the end of our episode.
It wow. does.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You guys, yes. thank you for
that
having
me. That was so
me.
Fun.
Of course.
To get more information about all the shows, including Lightning Thief, you can go to @rokicks on social media. You can obviously also go to the Lightning Thief, the Lightning Thief,
the
website to buy tickets there. You can follow us on social media at Broadwasted.
Hey, that's us.
You can follow us. You can join our Patreon,
yeah.
Our Facebook group.
Yeah.
You can find us on things like Spotify, iTunes. Rate and review us there.
Five stars, please.
Thank you.
We always end this with a quote.
We do.
And today's quote, as I foreshadowed before, is, why, this car is automatic.
Oh, God.
It's systematic.
There
oh,
it is.
A great quote.
It's hydromatic. Why, it's greased.
Lightning! We found
it! There's
lightning,
it's
grease.
Yes. But thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my gosh,
yes.
My pleasure. Thank you guys.
Let's raise a glass.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Oh.
To freedom?
We haven't done that in a while.
Zoo-doo-wop-bop.
Cheers. Thank you so much
thank
for taking
guys.
The time.
I wish
absolutely.
We had blue food right now.
Blue food? Oh.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah, got it.
I get a whole thing of blue marshmallows.
Oh, really? Do people just, like, gift you?
No, my
do you
sister
get
did.
Gifts?
I gotta eat those.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.